certainly do appreciate that fervent prayer by Brother Ronnie, and it is it's a wonderful blessing to be with you again. I will tell you that the brothers at Old Baptist Weekly, they didn't bat an eye nor hesitate at all in giving me leave for this evening. I won't go as far as to say they were glad that I wouldn't be a part of the broadcast, but they didn't stand in the way. It's a joy to be with you. Certainly I have a fond place in my heart for Union Primitive Baptist Church and for your pastor, and for those of you that are on the videos that I'm looking at, the video images right now I'm looking at, and I appreciate you leaving them up because it helps. So I don't have to look into a red dot or look at my face. It's not the same as being together. But it truly does help to see your face. And I pray that the Lord will bless our time together. I'm so thankful for the faithfulness of Union Church and the Wednesday night services. It gives me something to look forward to on Thursday and Friday, typically, because I'm able to listen to the messages that are preached at this time. I enjoyed Elder Carey from last week and preaching on acquired and intuitive knowledge. I let the Lord bless that message, and pray the Lord will bless tonight, that the thoughts of my mind would certainly speak to the honor and glory of the Lord, that it would renound to his honor and glory, and that I might say something tonight that would stir up your pure minds, that it would cause us to go to God's word and to consider these things, and that the Lord would give needed increase, that they would be applied to our lives. If you want to read with me, I'm going to read a verse of scripture. I'll probably read more than one. Certainly, I think I'll at least refer to more than one, Lord willing, in 2 Kings in the 4th chapter. 2 Kings chapter 4. And I want to read verse 8 by way of starting the message tonight. And certainly, I covet your prayers this evening. Verse 8, and it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in hither to eat bread. There's, if I understand what's being said here and in this account, there's some good in this lesson. The account of Elisha, in the account of this great woman, even from the perspective of Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, there's a tremendous lesson that I think we can glean a number of things from through this lesson in this biblical account. But right here at the outset of the start of this, inspired scripture says it fell on a day. You know, one good thing about good doctrine is it'll expose bad doctrine. And fell on a day is a term that by definition and by taking it through scripture, you can go over to the book of Job, and there the wording is there was a day, and here it's fell on a day. And basically what that means is that it's just a normal day. It's not something that has been pre-orchestrated, pre-arranged, predestined, set in place by sovereign God, that the events of this day are going to take place exactly as he has ordained. That teaching that is out in the world is terrible at every turn. And it's important for us to understand that as we live the course of our lives, we're going to rise in the morning and lay down at night, and God willing, rise again the next morning. And we have days that come and go. And for the most part, we start the day, and it may just be any normal day. I've been retired almost 3 years. I'll be retired 3 years in July, and I highly recommend it. It's outstanding in every way. And it's interesting that I have found, before I retired, people kept asking me, Brother Jerry, aren't you going to get bored? I mean, you're just going to have one day after another, after another, after another, and there's not going to be anything for you to look forward to during the course of the day, nothing special about the day. Now, I will tell you, in being retired, that one day tends to look a lot like another, and Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, it doesn't really matter what you call the day. It is just another day. But I'll tell you what I find. These are normal days on the surface, and the days that I want to look at this evening for a few minutes tonight, in this biblical account, there are three days in particular, that are called out in this account, and on the surface, they look like a normal day. They just fell on a day, any day. But the events of the day made it everything but normal. And in our life today, I would ask us, do we go from day to day to day to day, and just from one normal day to the other normal day to the next day to the point of monotony? Or do we open the course of the day with expectation and anticipation of walking with the Lord that day? You see, the events of the day are going to define whether it's just a regular day, whether it's a day of little or no consequence, and I suppose we all have them to one degree or another. Personally, I like to try to find something to remember about every day, something to remember. And if God is my helper during the course of the day, it's usually a very positive thing. Well, here we have an account in Scripture that this story, this biblical account, comes forward, and it began on a day, and as a result of the activity of this woman that Scripture refers to as a great woman, this was not just any normal day, and the days to follow were not just any normal days. This kind of language and understanding this account, it refutes the heresy of absolute predestination, orchestrated events by God. If you consider this account and you go through it, and we're going to, God willing, talk about a couple of things within it, but I trust this is not the first time you've heard of this account with Elisha and this great woman and the events that took place and the promise that was made unto her and the fulfillment of that promise and all of the wonderful things there and then the tragedy that took place. I will tell you this evening, if this whole entire event, a course of event, was predestinated by God, I would look at it as being quite cruel, if you know what I mean. Just the same way with Job and the situation with him. We serve a loving Heavenly Father. We serve a protective God. We serve a God who is everywhere present, nowhere absent. He knows all things. But that does not mean in any way, shape, or form that he has predestinated all things, all events, all activities during the course of any given day. If that's the case, I would question why the authority by which Scripture, inspired Scripture, refers to this woman as great. If this is all just orchestrated by the hand of God, and this woman is in fact by inspired Scripture referred to as great, then I would ask the question, is she great because she performed as a puppet, perfectly executing everything that was set before her, as well as all other characters that are in this account? And, you know, the more that you talk about it and you say these things out loud, the more ridiculous it sounds that someone would believe such a teaching. And yet there are people in the world today that promote such a teaching, that God predestinated every little thing, every little thought, every little word, every little thing that takes place on any given day. And, you know, further than that, I want to say this and then we'll move on into this lesson, is there are subtleties with this untruth that ensnare God's people if we're not careful. We've been under a time of great stress and great trial and great trouble with the pandemic and the things that have gone on in our country and around the world. And there's been a lot of people that have come to me and say, well, I don't know how it's going to work out, but God has a plan. God has a plan for my life, and God has a plan for the things that will take place going forward. And in reality, what the individual, if you talk to them long enough, what you find out that they're doing is they're wanting to set aside accountability for their own behavior and their own actions, and to some degree lay things at the feet of God. And it's important that we understand this evening that God is never the author of confusion. God is never the author of evil. And the things that happen in the course of life that cause us to shed tears of sorrow and sadness, and the trials and the troubles that come before us, and the things that truly vex our souls, it's because we're in a fallen world. That's where we occupy right now. But I have good news for you tonight that we're strangers and pilgrims here. This world is not our home. Our citizenship is in glory land, and we're headed on to perfection in the person of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And by God's grace, we will arrive there one day. It's not so much about God having a plan for us. God has a man for us that we should be looking to and leaning upon and trusting in and calling upon and endeavoring to walk our lives to his honor and his glory, and that we would have sweet fellowship with him. And that leads really, I believe, into the meat of this lesson. Inspired scripture calls this woman great. You know, when we think of someone that is great, one of the first things we have a tendency to do from a carnal perspective is, well, what's their name? What is their name? Have I heard of them before? Maybe I can Google them and I can see some of the things that they've done. This woman is not named. The closest that this woman comes to being named is Elisha refers to as a Shunammite. She has no name. And we get into a lot of discussion, a lot of debate about who's the greatest of all time in various venues. And it makes for interesting conversation, perhaps. I have my interest certainly in the sports world and things like that. And I have my favorites, just like I'm sure everybody else does. But I would have you to understand this evening, when scripture refers to someone as great, it's not situational. It's not, it doesn't have to do with a specific venue or genre or anything like that. Scripture calls them great, and they will be great every single time because of the criteria that is used. And if we go down through this account, and I'm not going to be able to get all of it tonight, I'm going to get a few things, God willing. I certainly want to be mindful of the time. But I would have us to consider some of the things that make this woman great and ask ourselves, are these things visible in my life? Ask ourselves, how visible or perhaps invisible have they been in our viewing over the course of the last 12 months of the time that we have gone through? You know, the pandemic that has come upon on God's people has not made God's people act any certain way. It's given them a venue to act, but it hasn't made them act a certain way. And scripture calls this woman great because of the behaviors that she puts forth and the attributes, I believe, that she possesses, and it speaks to her character. Let's look at some of these verses and talk through them just a little bit. In the ninth verse, says, and she said unto her husband, behold now, I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. This woman possesses perception, spiritual perception. She possesses discernment, spiritual discernment. She is looking at Elijah as he passed through, and there's no record of them having a conversation necessarily, but she has a perception about this individual that is coming through, and she acts upon it by talking to her husband. This woman, she respects the institution of marriage. She respects the that which God has ordained. And instead of just acting upon her perception by herself, she brings her husband into the equation along with her. And, you know, I'm so thankful for the wife that the Lord has blessed me with. She completes me in ways that I had no idea that I even needed. And the things that we are blessed to be able to participate in together relative to the service of the Lord and the fellowship that we have with the church, these are the things that stand out above everything else in our lives. And truly, I can say that I had a desire to be a better employee, and I believe it made me a better employee. I have a desire to be a better husband, a better father, a better grandfather. And the relationship that I have with my wife and service unto the Lord, it elevates everything else in my life. And this woman, she had spiritual discernment and the ability to perceive. You know, we have things that are inherent, as we heard last week in the message, as you heard as it was being spoken, and I listened to it a little bit later. We have intuitiveness within us because of that which God has provided us, has given unto us by his sovereign grace. We have the aptitude to discern spiritual things, to compare spiritual with spiritual because of the spirit that resides within us. It's there whether we use it or not. The blessing is in the using of it. And this woman, she exercised discernment. She reached to her husband. She wanted to act upon the discernment that she had, and her servant's heart moved her toward providing for this man of God. You know, in biblical times, having a man of God come through your town or into your proximity is a whole lot different than it is today. The men of God today, those that are charged with preaching the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Scripture says, precious are the feet of them that proclaim thy God reigneth. And it's the feet of them that make that truly draw your attention to them as they walk in accord with the things that they preach. But, you know, in biblical times, to have a man of God come upon the scene, if I can be so bold as to say, it would almost be as just having the felt presence of God with you at that time. This woman perceived that he was a man of God. And that carried great great blessing for her. And she acted upon the discernment that she had and that which was in her heart. And she worked with her husband and said, let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall. Let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn in hither. What the heart of a servant is an amazing thing. You know, I've been blessed to, and I know many of you have that are listening tonight, been blessed to travel across the country and be in the homes of God's people in the church. And, you know, we toss around sayings of fathers and mothers in Israel and houses and lands. I'll tell you, that's as true as it can be. To be able to spend time in the homes of one another and to get to know one another and to have that deep fellowship. And it's just humbling, and it is amazing when God's people just anything that they have, they provide unto you as you come in. Brother Tracy is on the video tonight, and he has a saying, and he said it to me, I don't know how many years now, but he believes it and he acts upon it. What's mine is yours. And what a great attitude to have with God's people. Well, this woman acted upon that which touched her heart. And I would encourage us all to look for opportunity. We have all been, we've all been under trial and trouble during this time. Some have suffered greatly. Some have suffered greatly. And our hearts go out to those that have suffered great loss and loss of loved ones and just the various things that have taken place. And it's very easy to look down at our feet and to get discouraged about things that are going on and questions that we might have and the uncertainty of things and all of those types of things. But what helps better than anything else to kick your eyes off of your trial and your trouble is to help somebody, to reach out and give of yourself based upon that which God has given you. You know, verse 11 marks another day. It says, and it fell on a day. This is another day. This is going to be a special day for this woman. Verse 11 begins the point going forward where a promise is going to be made unto her. And there's some things that lead up to it, and I want to get a couple of them, Lord willing, very quickly. It says, and it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber and lay there, and he said to Gehazi, his servant, call the Shunammite, and when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, say unto her, say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken for the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among my own people. Now, Elisha instructs Gehazi to go to this woman and say, listen, you've taken such good care of us. What can we do for you? How about some favor with the king? How about some VIP status? What about a frequent flyer opportunity? What about giving you something that elevates you from your current circumstance? And I'll tell you, the world will throw so many things at God's people that will be enticing to the things of the flesh. And they not necessarily that they would be sinful in the consuming of them or the participating of them. And they're not sinful in and of themselves. But this woman, in contrast to being asked, what might be done for you? She manifested godly contentment. Godly contentment. And I would tell you this evening, if there is one thing that we as God's people should do everything that we can, In our daily walk before the Lord, is to strive to be content. I would submit to you this evening that contentment's a choice. Contentment is not necessarily driven by external medium. Contentment is a choice in how we respond to external medium. The Apostle Paul told Timothy, godliness with contentment is great gain. Living a life of godliness, living a life looking alone to the things of the Lord from the standpoint of serving God in word and in deed and in thought and in action, living our life to the honor and glory of the Lord as a disciple of Jesus Christ, striving to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, serving God as we serve one another, esteeming one another greater than ourselves. These are godly activities, and they define our life. And living a life like that, and then being content to live a life like that, brings you gain that I believe you can get no other way. It brings you into a fellowship with the Lord that, again, I believe you can get no other way. Contentment is a wonderful blessing from God, but I believe it's a choice. I believe it's something that we purpose, we strive for in our lives based upon our decisions. This woman had a decision that was in front of her. She could be, she could elevate her personal status, and perhaps she might even ask for her husband to be involved or something like that. I trust that we see all this happening during the course of life on a given day. Perhaps things come at us that way. And she said, no, I'm content to serve God right here with my people. I'm content right here with my people. Are we content this evening? Now, I'd rather be meeting at the church grounds with y'all. I really would. I'd rather, the singing was beautiful tonight, by the way. But I remember the singing while we were there when Sister Cheryl and I had opportunity to be there, and other times that I've been with y'all. I'd love to be there in person. But I'll tell you, I'm content to be here tonight. I'm able to look on your face. I'm able to understand and to know that there are prayers going up, that God's name is being, at least the attempt of God's name being high and lifted up, that we would look unto the things of the Lord. We need to strive for contentment in our lives. And this woman was pronounced by the Spirit of God, the inspired word of God, being a great woman, and part of it was because she lived a life of godly contentment. If we look down to the 16th verse, it says, and he said about this season, now the exchange took place, and I'm sliding down through this for the sake of time. I encourage you to read it Read it carefully. There's so much to be gleaned. Nevertheless, Gehazi tells Elisha that she is without child, and Elisha makes a promise unto her. Remember how she's looking and considering Elisha. He's a man of God. But I submit to you that her observing him as a man of God went beyond even him being a man. She understands the promise that he is offering unto her right now is not coming at his hand. Now, she questions him on it, and I think there's something to be learned in that as well. But a promise like this can alone come from God. Only God can provide that. So he says in the 16th verse, and he said, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, nay, my Lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thy handmaid. You know, it's one thing to have faith in what you hear, certainly from a man of God, and as you pray and you seek to receive that as though it's coming from heaven, you need assurance as well. We all need assurance. And this woman, in speaking with Elisha, this was a promise beyond her imagination. It's something that she would never even have thought of. And this is being pronounced unto her. A promise is being made. Now, in the 18th verse, it says it fell on a day a third time. Now, there were years that took place between day two and day three. We don't know how long between day one and day two in this mention, but we know there were years because the son that she conceived was now grown. I don't know how many years it had been, but he was grown enough to be in the field with his father. And he takes ill, and he goes into his mother. She puts him on her lap, and he dies. Now, I'm going to say something again that I alluded to earlier. If this account is just fully orchestrated by God, and it's predetermined in every event, my heart breaks for that. The thing that happened here, in the loss of this son to this woman and to her husband, God did not bring that to pass. We know that's true because if you go to the end of the account and the end of the story, which we might as well deal with now because I'm not going to have time to get there in order of it, he's restored unto her. But this son dies, and the faith that this woman exhibits during the entirety of the circumstance, even at the time of his death, she takes his boy and lays him on the bed of the man of God. I believe she did that with expectation. She could have put him on his own bed, but she could have put him on the bed of the man of God. And I want us to see a couple of quick things here, and I want to make a couple of quick points, and then we'll bring this to a close. Look at verse 23. First of all, the woman had spoken to her husband, I need to take a servant and to go unto the man of God. And the husband responds, wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. He's questioning, why are you doing this? And she said unto him in response, it shall be well. It shall be well. There was nothing well about the circumstance at this point. She had just laid her son, whom was a promise given by God, on the man of God's bed because he had died. There was nothing well about this. I believe this is an exhibit of faith that she proclaims this. It shall be well. Why shall it be well? Well, she's on her way to go to the man of God. She's on her way there. I'll tell you this evening, when we have something going on in our life, the first thing we should do is to seek out the Lord. It should not be to go down a list of things that we might come up with to have a try and resolve the matter at hand when we have something that brings us down, that vexes our heart, that troubles our soul. We should immediately take it to the Lord. That's where it's going to be resolved. It's not going to be resolved at my hand. This woman had full understanding, and she knew full well that this is well beyond my ability to affect the outcome, let alone deal with this matter, let alone deal with it. She, I believe, in faith responded to her husband, "It shall be well." Listen, let's go forward very quickly. Then she saddled an ass and said to her servant, "Drive and go forward, slack not thy riding for me, except I bid thee." There was a determination of this woman. And I would tell you tonight, when we go to the Lord in prayer for relief of trouble or trial or sorrow or grief or pain, we need to go boldly before the throne of God's grace, not in our boldness, but in understanding that he loves us and he has promised never to leave nor forsake, that if we come unto the Lord through the blood of Jesus Christ and we ask according to his will, God is faithful and has promised to hear and answer that prayer in our favor. This woman was determined. She told her servant, "You go as fast as this thing will go, and you don't slow down unless I ask you to slow down." And I don't show anywhere in Scripture that she asked him to do that. She was with great determination. Tonight, and I would ask this evening, I, you know, talked to a lot of people over the course of this year, and a lot of folks have been, they have been really downtrodden. They become weary and well-doing. They have, become cast down. Oh, church, this is not a time for that. This is a time for determination and going to the Lord, recognizing he has all power in heaven and earth, and nothing can stay his hand. And his love for his people exceeds that above everything else. It shall be well. I will tell you, I can say this in my heart of hearts, looking back a year ago, not knowing what we were going to be going through, I believe in my heart of hearts that I may not have uttered those exact words, but I knew that God has promised never to leave nor forsake, and it shall be well. And you know, we might not get through the trouble at hand. We may not be delivered in the trouble. We'll be delivered through the trouble. And ultimately, we'll be delivered unto glory. Oh, it shall be well. Listen to what goes on with this. I want to get a couple of very quick things. It says, in the 26th verse, this is Elisha talking to Gehazi, his servant. "Run now, I pray thee, to meet her and say unto her," Elisha had seen her from afar, and "say unto her, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child?" And she answered, "It is well. It is well." She had come now into the presence of the man of God. You know, when we go to the Lord in prayer, when we're anticipating going to the Lord in prayer, I trust we would go with expectation that the Lord, that we would have sweet fellowship and communion with the Lord in that prayer. And when we close the door of our prayer closet and we bow before the Lord, we bring nothing else in there, and we plead our case unto the Lord and pour our heart out unto him. The anticipation of that, we can say, "It will be, it shall be well." And then when you're there, oh, the peace of God that passeth understanding touches our heart, says, "Be still, my soul, be still. The Lord is on thy side." And at that moment and at that time, we can proclaim beyond any question, "It is well." I don't know how it's going to turn out. I don't know how it's going to turn out. There's not a one of us that knows from one day to the next how things are going to turn out. But I submit to you, when you take your burden to the Lord and leave it there, that fellowship that you have with him and the peace that you arise from that prayer with, you're able to proclaim, It is well. It is well. This is so important in our experience. I remember when my mom died, particularly, it was hard because my dad had already passed. And So I'd lost both parents, and I don't know why that was different, but it was. It truly was. And I remember being troubled and deeply troubled with that. And I tried to pray and I tried to pray, and I came to realize I was praying for the wrong thing. And finally I got to a place where a good brother helped me, and I prayed unto the Lord. And I'll tell you the peace that abode in that setting. I've never forgotten it, and it stayed with me even unto this present hour. Oh, when we're in the presence of God, when we acknowledge that we are there in His felt presence, and He is hearing our prayer, and the fellowship that we have in the worship of prayer. You see, prayer is worship unto God. And when you have that fellowship with the Lord, you can proclaim, "It is well." But now this woman, her heart was broken with the loss of her son. It took her to the very bottom. But I would say that the determination that she showed, the faith that she showed, the discernment that she exhibited at the outset, and then the thankful heart that she had as this account went through the entirety of it. And even Elisha's faith was tried in this. That's a whole other account, a whole other part of the story, because Elisha didn't know why she was coming. He says plainly that God had hid it from him. So Elisha, his faith is tried. And he had a knee-jerk response to it, and the woman wouldn't have any part of it. She says, "I'm going to stay with you until this matter is finally resolved," not knowing how it would be. And you know, we don't know how things will go in the experience of our life, the trial and the trouble. I'm so glad to hear Brother Ronnie say this evening, prior to his prayer, that his mother was able to go back and attend service. I know that was a great trial for him, and her illness was serious, and it was lengthy. And you know, we don't know how things are going to progress. We do know, because of the God we serve, that it is well. And we do know, when we're in His felt presence and we feel His hand upon us, that all is well at that time. And I would submit to us tonight, as we consider the days that are yet to come before us, and yet there is uncertainty that is there, and there is rebuilding and recovery and all of those things that are in our future, that we would have the determination, that we would cling to the Lord and not let go, that we would, with everything in us, seek His face on every normal day, in order that our walk with Him elevates that day to a point of remembrance. Because days come and days go, and the results of them, in large part, are in our hands. Oh, that God would bless us to have a content heart in service unto Him. God bless you is my prayer. I hope you said something tonight that would stir your pure mind, and strongly encourage that you read this account in its entirety. I skipped through many points of it. There's just so much there that we can glean from it. But I trust we said something that would stir your pure mind. Brother James.